Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready to live your life by design in 2009? Well, then sit back, relax, and enjoy an empowering conversation to advance and enhance your life. And now, your host, Miss Kathy Holloway Hill and Mr. Tony Lamont.
Hello, everyone. Good afternoon or good evening, wherever you're calling in from. I'm Kathy Holloway Hill.
And I'm Tony Lamont.
And we're so happy that you're going to join us this evening. We have a great show lineup for you today. And I first want to say, Tony, I'm glad you were able to join us. I know you're a little bit under the weather today, but I hope you start feeling better soon.
Yeah, I'm feeling a little bit under the weather, but I think I'll be okay. Just trying to take in as much fluid as I possibly can and get some rest.
Yep, that's the best thing to do, best way to handle it. This is the sick flu allergy season, so, you know, it's a little bit of everything going around. So we'll keep you in our prayers. But I wanted to make a couple of announcements before we get started with our show. We have two fabulous guests that are going to be coming on this evening. And I have a couple of events coming up that are really going to be magnificent, and I truly want you to get in on this. In Indianapolis, this weekend, this Saturday, October 31st, which is Halloween, but from 9 a.m. to 1:30 p.m., so we're going to get you out in plenty of time to have your Halloween fun, there's an event called Motherhood, Money, and Men. And this event is going to be magnificent. And there's a free preview call tonight, and we want you to get in on that. I also have a teleseminar coming up next Thursday and Friday, and it's entitled Women, Wisdom, and Wealth. And there's a free preview call on that as well this evening. So I'm going to be very, very busy this evening, Tony. So we want you to go to my website, www.chollowayhill.com. And click on the events tab, and all the information that you need for both preview calls is there. The Women, Wisdom, and Wealth preview call is at 8 p.m. Eastern, and the Motherhood, Money, and Men preview call is at 9 p.m. Eastern. So please, please, please join us for both of those if you can, and if you can only make one, I'll let you decide. They're both going to be great, so we don't want you to miss it, and tonight call is free, so we want to make sure you get in on that. Now, moving on, we are in week 7 of our Review, Renew, and Reclaim Your Life series, and it has been going so well. I am so pleased with the feedback and the email notes and everything that you guys are getting out of this. I am very, very pleased because, of course, it's all for you. And as you know, at the end of our series, which ends on December the 10th, we will be featuring a book campaign. And for every buyer, every book buyer of my book, Emotional Bailout, all of the guests that you have been hearing from over these 12-week period, over this 12-week period, since September the 3rd up through December 10th, will be offering a free gift. And these free gifts are, I'm telling you, you don't want to miss out on this. These free gifts are valued somewhere in the neighborhood of $3,500. So they are going to be really, really valuable tools for you to begin your new year off on the right foot. If you want to make a life transformation, then these are the people that are going to help you do it. So with that, Tony, unless you have any announcements, do you?
No, I'm good.
Okay, all right. Well, we are going to go ahead and bring our first guest on. Now, actually, this gentleman, he is so professional. I tell you, I'm not even sure how I met this gentleman. I think it was through one of my networking colleagues, but I was so impressed with his professionalism and the information that he sends through his newsletters and his tips for life enhancement. It's timely, it's relevant, and I tell you, if you're not on Dr. Joe Rubino's mailing list, I suggest you get on it quickly because he is a class act. He is a internationally acclaimed expert on the topic of self-esteem, and he's a life-changing personal development trainer and success coach, and he's a best-selling author of 9 books and 2 audio sets. So I am so excited and so thrilled to bring Dr. Joe Rubino on the line. Dr. Joe, are you there?
I am, Kathy. Great to be here. Thank you.
Thank you very much for joining us. We are so happy to have you. Now, you have been a very busy person. I am very impressed with the tools that you send out and the information. It's really, really good, very relevant.
Well, thanks. It's a pleasure. You know, my vision is to impact the lives of 20 million people, and the only way I'm going to do that is by having partners like you who can spread the word and impact people in your own right. So, thank you.
That's true. That's right. Because, as you know, we are at a time right now in our nation, well, actually, across the world, that, you know, our economy is affecting millions and millions of lives, and anyone that can share their gift and do their part to make a difference, we all have to step up and do that. So, you know, we're really glad to have you here. We're really glad that you're partnering with us to get this done.
It's my privilege.
Now, tell us, our listeners, a little bit about what you do, and because I know you're a personal development trainer. I like that, personal development trainer, because we know a personal development trainer in the sense of lifting weights and your physical health, you know, a physical trainer, you know, we know what they do. So tell our listeners what a personal development trainer is and a success coach.
Well, it's a person who champions people to be their best, to live their life optimally in choice, to honor their values, to actually be abundant and happy and have rich relationships, and to be fulfilled and do all the things that they really want to and can dream of in their lives. So I'm really the catalyst, or a catalyst, to support people to believe in themselves, to elevate their self-esteem if that's necessary, and to really to create a life of choice in every area of their lives.
Right, right. And I also have here that you are an expert network marketing trainer.
Well, yeah, I was blessed, Kathy and Tony, to discover network marketing as a dentist in 1991. And it was actually the vehicle that allowed me to transition out of dentistry and retire when I was 37, pursue my passion of personal development. So network marketing has served as a great vehicle for many people to create wealth and lives of choice, and it's just one more tool that we support people with to do that.
Right. That's excellent. That's excellent. Now, Dr. Joe, I always like to ask my guests and experts like you when they come on the show, to step out of a profession like dentistry, I mean, that's pretty major. What really was the catalyst for you to make you just go ahead and step out there on faith and leave something so tremendous as that? Because I left a similar career. I was in the technology industry, and I was earning a lot of money, and I stepped out on faith and, you know, to live my purpose. So what was the catalyst for you that helped you step out there?
Well, Kathy, a lot of people thought I was crazy because I had a successful practice. We,
well, of course,
had been in practice for about 15 years, and on outward appearances, the practice was busy. We were making a lot of money. We were very well respected by our patients and our peers, but there was something gnawing inside of me that said there was something more. And I was very resigned at the time, very introverted, actually, and thinking that dentistry was the only way that I could earn a living to support my family. And and still there was a sense, an intuitive sense, that there was something more out there for me, that I was playing small as a dentist and just doing so because I had this justification going on that I'd put all those years of schooling in and had put all of the work into building the practice to the point where it was. And to leave it behind was something that was foolish, but through the help of some of my coaches, I realized the costs of staying stuck and small, and they were my happiness, my health, my ability to contribute my gifts to the world, which I didn't even know I had any at the time. And so all of that came together when I decided to make the move to reinvent myself, and from that point onward, doors started to open and opportunities started to show up, and I found that that happens all the time for all of us whenever we have the courage to make a change, to declare what we're going to be up to and to take that first step.
Yeah, that's very powerful. And that is so true, because oftentimes what happens when clients come to me, they know that something is missing in their lives. They know that there is a void, but they have no idea how to fill it. Now, of course, we know, Dr. Joe, you, myself, Tony, we know that most people think money is the way to fill that void. And all three of us can attest to the fact that money does not fill the void. Because we've had it. Been there, done that, and the void was still there. So I'm encouraging everyone, if you have a purpose and you know you have a purpose or a passion, that you've got to pursue it. You've got to be brave enough to step out on faith and believe that you can achieve your dreams. Because, I mean, that's what we do. We dream. When we lay down and go to sleep at night, we dream, even if we don't want to. It's just part of what we do. So we've got to be able to take that step and have the faith that it's going to happen for us.
Yeah, and Kathy, you know, the funny thing is that when you do pursue your passions and your work is in alignment with your life purpose and your gifts and you're having fun, then the money comes. So but when you chase the money alone, it's just it's a path to nowhere. It's a dead end, and it doesn't lead you to happiness. It just leads you to frustration.
That's so true. And as long as we worry about money and we pine over money and we, you know, just make it our life's purpose is to chase it, it's just not going to work. Because I tell my clients, you have to first be something before you can have something.
Yes, absolutely.
And then after that, you have to do something before you can have something. So, I mean, it comes in that order. You can't just expect money to happen. It's just, I mean, you could play the lottery from now until your dying day, and even if you win the lottery, you might be able to pay off all your bills, but once that excitement and that newness wears off, you're still going to be stuck with those same issues of a void inside that needs to be filled by something. And that void can only be filled by living a purpose-driven life.
Yeah, you're right on. And that's why so many people that win the lottery are right back where they were a couple of years after they've blown their money. And, you know, it's kind of like a thermostat that always goes back to the temperature that it's set at. And unless your being reflects what you want to manifest, then you're going to manifest whatever it is that is consistent with who you are in the world. And so all we have to do is look around what's showing up around us, and we'll see if it's consistent with what we want, then we know that we're being those things that support us. And if it's not, we know we need to be and to do differently in order to attract those things that we want.
Right. And Dr. Joe, I know you probably heard this a lot, because I hear it a lot in my practice, that it's very difficult to step out on faith when you are just deep in debt. And, you know, a lot of people are so deep in debt because of maybe some bad choices they've made in their life, or some student loans or whatever the case may be, that they just don't, you know, they're not able to do that. So what should they do? What advice could you give those people?
Well, we create our own realities, and if we're deep in debt, we've brought that to us. And just as easily, we can bring about abundance and even opulence, which is much more than abundance. So what there is to do is to be clear about your vision, to map it out, to write it out, first person, present tense, every aspect of your life, what it's going to look like, what you're going to attract to you when you're being those qualities that you've declared yourself to be, and when you're doing those things that are consistent with those qualities. And when you're living that vision and you're actually in action making those qualities manifest into the world, you'll find the doors start to open, serendipity starts to happen, you start to recognize opportunities and relationships, and people come into your world where you can erase any debt, you can really make your life work. And what it takes is oftentimes just courage, vision, commitment, and often the help of a coach to really see those blind areas that you might not be aware of, the areas that you don't know about what you're missing.
That's so true. That's so true. And then another thing that I hear a lot in my practice and some of my clients that really do seem to get it. They really do seem to get the message that, you know, it's all about living a purpose-driven life. How do you stay motivated? What are some of the tools and tips that you use, that you could give on how to stay motivated when you have those days where, you know, everything just seems to go wrong. And you know, it's kind of like you start to question yourself. How do you stay motivated and not allow that uncertainty to take over?
Well, two ways. First, you get clear about what your vision is. You get clear about what you're up to in life, your life purpose, being consistent with that vision, something that you're meant to do, something that gives you passion and joy and excitement. And if you were to live the next 300 or 400 years, you'd love to get up every day and look forward to doing this. So when you're living your vision and you're enjoying the process as opposed to waiting until some big event happens to make life all worthwhile, then you know that that problems are only gifts in disguise. They're opportunities for you to grow and to learn, and you can recognize them and embrace them and look for those gifts and know that they're going to be the source of breakthroughs. The other way is the opposite approach, which is to be in touch with the cost of playing small and really taking that path where it's the path of least resistance. It's doing what's convenient as opposed to what you're committed to. It's stepping over things as opposed to telling the truth. It's about thinking only about yourself as opposed to what it's like in the other person's world and having empathy for relationships. So when we can get clear about not only what empowers us and what gives us the self-motivation to produce something on purpose where we see it as inevitable, that produces the vision to manifest. And when we can get in touch with what it's costing us not to be totally aware of managing our stuff so that we are constantly aware of the game that we're playing in life here, enjoying the process as we go, then we can easily fall back into that funk where we allow life to get to us, we allow the negative self-talk to rule us, we lose faith in our ability to have it all and to be a contributing force in the world and to really enjoy life. And so it's a matter of both things. It's having that compelling vision that we expect to happen as though it's inevitable, and being aware of what our stuff is, and when we don't manage it, then we don't take responsibility for making our life work.
Now, Doctor, I want to ask this question because when you talk about getting to those points and recognizing those things, one of the first challenges is state of mind. How do you recognize or deal with the state of mind of an individual? Because one of the first things that a person has to do is realize what their state of mind is before they can even take those first steps. What's the action or the possibilities or the things that get you started in the direction you need to go?
Well, Tony, for me, it's about being clear about managing your interpretations, because, you know, life is full of lots of things that people say and do, and what happens typically is that we're driven by our emotional moods to create meaning to those things that people say and do that cause us to be in a funk. We're either addicted to a form of anger, sadness, or fear, and everyone has one of those three that's like a needle in the arm of a heroin addict giving them a fix. And so if we're an anger addict, we look to make things up about what people say and do. We cause interpretations that make us angry. And then we react, and then we destroy relationships, and we cause our life to have a downward spiral. If we're addicted to sadness or a low-grade depression, as more than 120 million people in this world are, then we look for reasons to become sad. We look to be disempowered. We allow what people say and do to put us in a funk. And then we are victims because we're sad, and you can't blame me because I'm sad. I'm depressed. So there's nothing I can do about it. And again, we avoid responsibility for managing our interpretations. And then the third area is worry or fear. If we're addicted to fear, then everything is cause for alarm. You know, the economy is going south, so it's going to scare the heck out of me. Maybe I'll lose my relationship. Maybe, you know, the weather patterns are going to be bad. It doesn't really matter what the cause of the fear is. Someone who's addicted to worry or to fear will scan until they find a reason to worry, a reason to be afraid, and they will cause interpretations that feed that addiction. So when we can be aware of the emotional charge that has us really go to these interpretations that don't support us, and we can manage our mindset to create new interpretations that don't have that addictive pull of anger, sadness, or fear. We now have the ability to reinvent ourselves in a way where we start to reinterpret life in a way where there's no offense intended. So when someone says something, instead of reacting angrily or sadly or with fear, we see it as over there. That's about them. We try it on like a coat. If it fits, we look to see how we could improve or be different. And if not, we don't buy into other people's stuff. So it's a non-reactive life, a way that we can actually live an upset-free life when we can start to manage our interpretations and our thoughts.
Gotcha.
Wow. That was very, very, see, that's when you, before you came on, when I talked about your information being timely and relevant, that was very, very good. I have never, ever heard it put like that. Addicted to anger, sadness, fear, and worry. How do you identify, what are some of the symptoms to identify someone that's like that, that may be addicted to those types of emotions, Dr. Joe?
Well, Kathy and Tony, what happens is early on, we made something up about ourselves and we made something up about other people in our earliest childhood upset. And we continue on in that same type of upset where, let's say we made up that we're not good enough, we're unworthy, we're unlovable, and people are mean. Well, we will look for interpretations to recreate that same meaning in all of our upsets. So we will be attracted to people in our relationships that are mean, or that we will interpret as being mean, so that we can be unlovable, unworthy, not good enough. And all we have to do is look at the last time we were in an upset with a family member, with a spouse, with a worker, coworker, with a friend, and it's a replay of the same initial upset. So when we can get clarity around the upsets in our lives, and we can start to see how we're the common denominator, and when we can reinterpret those upsets in a way that has no anger, sadness, or fear associated with them, whatever our addictive emotional mood is, we now have the ability to detach. And when we can be not attached to what people say and do, but learn from it and grow from it and really be non-judgmental about it, it's a whole new freedom that allows us to be powerful, to be charismatic, to be personally effective, and to strengthen our relationships and have what we want.
Yeah, that's very powerful. And, you know, because one of the things that I try to use in my seminars, just to kind of give people a parallel of some sort, when we go through life traumas, like you said earlier, obstacles and life, difficult life experiences are meant to help us, to strengthen us. And I ask my attendees, because it's typically women, I ask, you know, for the people that have had children, if you're a parent, raise your hand. And all the women that are parents, raise their hand. And I try to relate it back to when they were pregnant. When you were pregnant and you were going through labor, oh my God, that hurt. I've heard labor pains are the worst pain in the world. But at the end of the day, at the end of that process, when you was holding that new life in your arms, you forgot that pain just like that. So that pain was meant to bring about a beautiful thing, life, which is exactly what obstacles and traumas are meant to bring about, a beautiful experience. But again, it's all in how you look at it. It's all in your viewpoint and how you look at it. Some people look at pain as a terrible thing and they can't see the end result. They can't see the lesson. That there's a blessing there. They can't see that. So now I understand why they can't see it, because there's an addiction there. That's very, very interesting to know.
Yeah, and it's usually invisible. You know, so many of us go through our whole lives not knowing that runs our lives. We know that there's upset. We know that we're constantly getting into fights with people, or we're constantly angry or afraid or sad. But we don't really put it together that we bring this about by our interpretation. And like you said, when you can start to identify the problems in life and you can start to shift your relationship to those problems to know that it's all good and it's all a gift, you now have the ability to shift how you see things. You can shift what comes down the road so that it empowers you. You can really start to shift and reinvent your interpretation to life in a way that everything looks different. Everything looks like it has a reason, and it's all good, and it really, it's very exciting.
That's amazing. That's amazing. Now, the, and one thing I just want to clarify, because I'm, as you can see, I'm amazed by this new discovery, because I learn something every day, and I love it when I learn new things. The addiction situation, is that something that could be genetic, or is it just something habitual that we develop in our childhood from our toxic beliefs and toxic, you know, dysfunctional stuff that we come in contact with as children?
Yeah, it's a function of what we made up early on or what we bought into. So the
okay.
only way that I would call it genetic would be the fact that oftentimes families pass along similar beliefs, but it's not in our genes, so to speak. It's,
okay.
it's actually something that someone calls us stupid. We buy into that. We think that we're stupid, and we start to hold ourselves that way, and we manifest stupidity as we go through life because it makes us be a victim. It has other people dominate us. It has us justify why things don't go our way and all of that. Now, we also can have someone say something that was not meant early on in life to be an insult or to degrade, you know, to degrade us or to tear us down at all. And we make up that there's something wrong with us. And so from that point onward, we start to see life through colored glasses where there's something defective. And then we now start to reinforce that initial fear that we had that I'm not good enough, nobody likes me, I'm not smart enough, whatever that happens to be. And we create the evidence to reinforce that. And, of course, when we scan for evidence, we'll find it. And we do this throughout the decades to the point where not only does it become so real for us, but we're absolutely convinced that there's something wrong with us because we've created decades of evidence to support that mistaken assumption.
It's amazing. Absolutely amazing. Dr. Joe, I tell you, I could just listen to you forever. I mean, we're running out of time here, so I want to make sure you give your contact information so that I can plug it into my chat room and my listeners will know how to get to your website and sign up for your newsletter.
Absolutely. Well, I have a free gift for all of our listeners, and that is an audio recording that I call 7 Steps to Soaring Self-Esteem. And it comes with a membership in our Success Club. It's all free. And they can get
Excellent.
That by going to www.selfesteemsystem.com. All one word, selfesteemsystem.com. And they can find out about our coaching program and the work that I do and my books and tapes by going to www.drjoerubino.com. Drjoerubino.com.
Fabulous, fabulous. Fabulous. Dr. Joe, thank you so much for joining us this evening. You have been a fabulous guest, which I knew you would be, and the information you have given is just outstanding. It's just stellar. So it's going to help so many people, which is exactly what your purpose is. So you've definitely served your purpose this evening. So again, sir, thank you so much for joining us, and I am so blessed to have you as part of my campaign teammate.
Well, thank you so much, Kathy and Tony, and for the great work that you both do, and I just appreciate your contribution to everyone as well.
Thank you.
Absolutely, absolutely, sir. All right, well, that was Dr. Joe Rubino, and please go to his website and get your free audio recording, www.selfesteemsystem.com, and I plugged it in the chat room so that everyone can see it. Wow, that was some powerful information, Tony. That was very good, very, very good.
Yeah, it was.
So,
very much so.
Yeah, it was. It really was. It really was. So we're going to move right on to our next guest. And, well, I know we're in a difficult economy, everyone. And our next guest is a wealth expert. Woo-hoo! So we are going to learn how to fix our money issues. Stephanie Slavin is, oh my goodness, I tell you, I met her at the eWomen Network, I think it was the eWomen Network Conference. She's just such a beautiful person inside and out, and I just love her to death. I mean, we immediately clicked, and I just knew I had to have her in my on my team. So I am just so excited and happy to bring her on the line and introduce Stephanie Slavin. And Stephanie, are you there?
I certainly am, Kathy, and I'm delighted to be with you.
Good. I am delighted that you are with me. I am so happy to have you here with us. So welcome, welcome, welcome.
Thank you. And with you in more ways than one. As you said, we did have a very, very magical connection when we met, and we just couldn't stop talking, could we?
No, I know. That is so very true. Now, Stephanie, I'm not sure. It might be me. Tony, can you hear a crackling sound?
Yes, I do.
I do hear a little bit of static, but I'm actually on a landline in my office. Do I need to call back in?
Well, I'm not sure. Tony, can you hear it when I talk, or can you only hear it when Stephanie speaks?
I hear it primarily when Stephanie speaks, so it just may be a bad connection coming off that particular line.
Stephanie, would you mind hanging up and dialing back in again just to be sure?
I will be happy to do that because we don't want our listeners to miss a single word.
No, we don't. No, we don't. So we're going to wait for you to hurry up and dial back in.
I will do that.
Okay, dear.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And that does happen sometimes, of course, with
it
technology.
It does. So occasionally
and there are multiple
we,
lines that are going out. I mean, I do so often, you know, when people call, it's like I hear something, and then you hang up and call back, and there you go, the line's a clear line. So we'll hope that that same kind of thing will happen this time.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, it's I had just really been enjoying the 7-week series thus far. I mean, I know we're going to week 12 and we have 5 more to go. But it has just really been excellent. I'm just really enjoying it. So I'm going to try to go ahead and bring Stephanie back on the line. Stephanie, are you there?
I am there, and is this a clearer connection?
This is crystal clear, fabulous, outstanding.
Wonderful, wonderful. I can hear you well, too.
Good, 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 good. I am so excited. I'm so happy to have you with us this evening, Stephanie. Now, you represent an area that, I tell you, it's a big one, fixing money issues.
Well, it is, Kathy. And, you know, I've discovered in 15 years of coaching that sometimes we would have people come in for career or relationship issues, and we would solve those issues, and then something would happen to their money. As a result of that, we'd have to kind of start all over again. It just upset their entire life. And then I would have other people come in, primarily focused on the financial aspects of their lives, and really how to use law of attraction and align their actions and get rid of their fears about money. And when we fixed that issue first, then when we went on to career, relationship, sexual, spiritual, physical, then everything seemed to flow well in their lives. And if they had an upset in any part of their lives, they had greater resilience and ability to bounce back from it. So I decided to focus on money issues first in order to help people balance their lives and stay balanced.
Now, and that's interesting because we both know that money is just such a, I don't want to call it a bad thing because
it is an energy flow in our society, and we have chosen for it to be this, you know, very important common denominator. It's just like electricity. It's just that important in our lives and that consequential in our everyday lives.
Yeah. Yeah, because I guess I have a different outlook about it only because I was in a corporate job and I was making so much more than I am right now. But I am so much happier right now than I've ever been in my life. And I don't have the type of money that I had in corporate America. And I guess maybe because I have experienced that, and I know people believe that the void that they have in their lives is a void that they need. More money, more money, more money. The more money you have, the better you'll feel, and that's just so not true.
And the reason why I think you're feeling that, Taffy, is because now your heart and soul are aligned with the actions that you're taking to make money.
That's right.
So heart and soul, and now that is attracting perfectly generous amounts of money to you, and you can always have any amount more that you want.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But
so,
you're aligned in your actions now.
That's right. So you say you just pretty much start at that point with your client. You just go ahead because of the fears. Talk a little bit about the fears that you mentioned, fears about money. What are some of the fears?
We all grow up with certain attitudes about money, usually that there's just not enough. And we hear our parents talking about money. I personally grew up there in Louisville, Kentucky. And my parents were always stressed about money. You know, they never had enough. There was always more months than there was money. Any kind of challenge that came really upset our whole balance. And when I was in senior high school and wanting to go on a trip, I remember having, you know, great trepidation of even bringing that up to my parents because I was afraid we couldn't afford it. And, you know, my parents would argue sometimes about money, and that just creates a real uncertainty and a dissonance about a very simple and energetic factor in our lives. So that's part of the fear that grows up around money. Now, there are some people who have the other side of the equation. I remember after college having a friend who had grown up quite well-to-do and who expressed the opinion of, oh, making money is so easy. That it just astounded me. However, even people who think that making money is easy may have some issues about it, about certain ways that we should make money or shouldn't make money. And I'm not necessarily talking about things that are legitimate and legal. I'm only talking about things that are legitimate and legal. But let's say, for instance, many people have an unfortunate attitude about network marketing, which is really quite an incredible way for everybody to make money because it's a situation in which the more you do for other people, the more you get everything you want yourself. You know, it's that wonderful expression from Zig Ziglar, one of our favorites. That I shouldn't make money in network marketing, even though I know that a lot of people are doing a lot of good, promoting wonderful products, services, or whatever. So we have these attitudes. And what I do is I start with finding out what people's attitudes are about money, whether it's a fear or whether it is a casual attitude about always having enough, which can be disruptive, just as disruptive as being afraid of money. And then there are, of course, many attitudes that we have derived through our religious institutions about whether or not we should like money, or whether or not money is the root of all evil, or whether it's the love of money that's the root of all evil. And, of course, a lot of religious institutions have changed that attitude because they want people to feel good about money. They realize that Jesus Christ and many other prophets certainly encouraged us to receive all of the goodness that is meant for us. And in our society, our world, our time, that just happens to be money. So no big deal. And a lot of religious institutions have certainly modified their attitudes about money and how we make it. But what I'm really concerned with at this moment in time is this, you know, constriction that we've had in our economy, the recession that we're experiencing, and also the fact that people are getting very depressed about losing money and not having money, of having worked 30 or 40 years. People who are in real estate and real estate development are seeing everything that they've ever worked for absolutely evaporate. Are you seeing that in your community, Kathy?
Oh, you better believe it. Yes, I absolutely am. And one of the things, Stephanie, that it's very hard for me to try to communicate this fact to my clients and people, family members, people that I come in contact with, is that I know when you're in debt and you know, the debt collectors are calling and knocking at your door, I know it can consume you, and it can consume your thoughts. But when you allow your thoughts to just dwell there, then all you're going to do is attract more debt into your life.
You're exactly right.
But it's so hard to make people understand that when they're so deep in debt.
Well,
I mean, how can you get the message across to someone who has so much debt that they need to stop focusing on that debt?
Here's the way that I go about it, Kathy. I try to explain. First of all, I've been called pragmatic, visionary, and contrarian. I'm pragmatic because I have very practical advice, and I always look for the specific answers to things, and I want to know all of the explanations. I'm visionary because I'm really looking quite far out. What is going on? And then I'm contrarian because my message is really very different than the one that you're getting through the newspaper and media. For example, I start with people by explaining that this is a natural 80-year cycle.
Yep.
Harry Dent, the author of many books, but in particular, The Great Depression Ahead, Harry Dent is a demographic forecaster. And what he has described is a very simple thing that we can all see and understand. Economics is not complex. It's not about monetary and financial policy. It's about how a population passes through a society. It's kind of like a pig in a python. That's what we baby boomers have been in our society. And as we pass through the generations, look what we did. When we all went to school, to elementary school, then they had to build more elementary schools, and then more middle schools, more high schools, more colleges. And then when we graduated, because there were so many of us, business was able to expand and hire more people. And so we've had this wonderful, you know, huge bubble that has been growing for many years. And of course, you know, when we got out of college and into our working lives, we were able to buy homes and, you know, and start families. And more of us bought homes. So we, you know, created a real estate bubble. Well, as things have been going, this is happening, has been happening over an 80-year cycle. And if you look at the crash that just happened in the fall of 2000, what we're experiencing in 2009, that matches quite well with 80 years ago, which was 1929, which was our Great Depression. And our economic forecasters and demographic forecasters are suggesting, which I believe, that we are coming to another major crisis. However, what I tell people is this is a normal, natural cycle. We've survived it in the past. And there's an interesting statistic, in fact, that one-third of people in the Great Depression of the 1930s lost everything. One-third of people didn't have any change. They were able to keep their jobs, and even though nobody had a lot of money, they, you know, were able to survive. And then one-third of people actually made huge fortunes in the 1930s Depression. So look at that. Two-thirds survived. I'm not discounting the huge suffering of the one-third of our population who lost everything. But if indeed we do repeat that, we have a different demographic today. If 100 million people have problems, we have 200 million people in the United States of America who can help out. So I encourage the people who are making money, and there are many businesses that are going through a shakeout. They're able to make a lot of money because some of their smaller competitors are falling away. And all of us individuals and all of us companies, our companies, that make more money, we need to be focused on helping those who are going to be suffering.
I agree. I totally agree. And I know one of the things that I say to my clients and, you know, people that come to me just totally depressed about money is, and I know sometimes this might, you know, seem a bit cold and callous, but it's not meant to be. It's just meant to put things in perspective. Try to imagine the worst thing that could possibly happen to you. I mean, you worry about money. What is the worst thing that can happen? And then they'll give me all kind of answers. Okay, well, what would you do if your house was foreclosed on? What would you do if you were evicted? What would you do if you were homeless? Just go ahead and imagine it and get it out of the way. And then you can move on with your life and focus on something else.
Very often our fears of what might happen are worse than what actually happens.
Exactly, and that's why I say go ahead and imagine the worst case scenario. Just imagine the worst case scenario, and then whatever that worst case scenario is, what would you do? What would you do? If it's an uncontrollable, then why are you spending time worrying about it?
Uh-huh.
When you could be focusing on, I don't know, I know one of the greats said this, I don't know if it was Zig Ziglar or Robert Schuller, but instead of focusing on what you've lost, focus on what you have left.
Absolutely. And Susie Orman also says that.
Did she say that? I didn't know. I knew it came from one of the greats. I just wanted to give somebody that credit because I like that one. Because it is so true. I mean, we all go through something where, you know, we lose something, whether by choice or not by our choice. But you can't focus on things you have no control over. You have to focus on what you have left and what you do have control over.
Yes. And my goal is to help people find that appreciation in their life, because I'm helping them to shift from criticizing, complaining, resenting, and feeling like a victim of those unemployments and foreclosures of, shrinking credit and all of the other harsh challenges that are being created by this economic tsunami. Because the picture that I see, the visionary picture, is that we are going through a wormhole. It's, you know, like they had on Star Trek. You remember the Star Trek Next Generation? The Starship Enterprise would pass through a wormhole in order to get to another dimension or another universe. And they would get shaken up very badly, and, of course, the music would be very intense, and we would feel like maybe they're not going to survive. But when they got to the other side, it was beautiful, calm, and an experience that they never would have had they not gone through the wormhole.
Right. And that's what we kind of talked about a little bit with the previous guest, with Dr. Joe, that life brings uncomfortable, unhappy, not-so-good situations to us, not to punish us, but sometimes they're meant to strengthen us. And if we look at it as, you know, a depressive situation or why me or woe is me, we're going to miss the lesson that's there.
You're right. And I heard a wonderful expression recently from Joel Osteen, Pastor Joel Osteen. He said, mm-hmm. We're being pruned in order to bloom. Isn't that great?
I like that.
Yeah, I do too. And along with giving people the vision of the fact that, you know, things in our society are so complex and so contrary to logic and reason that we know it can't go much further. It's just got to change. And in order for it to change, I'm afraid that it's so broken that it just has to fall apart and finish out. So banks may have to fail, and we've already had more than 170 banks fail this year, and we may have thousands of banks fail. Or if you know that this might be coming, then you can prepare yourself by doing very practical things, by putting your money in the safest possible places, which may be certain banks, but it may also be certain instruments of investment that are the historically known to be very secure. And these are things that I talk about in my program, How to Survive the Crash of 2010. And my goal is to help people to find that appreciation in their life, because what turns on the law of law of attraction is appreciating what we do have. And
I
then
know it.
Emotion. You know this, Kathy. The intense emotion. Oh, my goodness. You know, I love my home. I love looking out my window every morning. I love the comfort of my bed. I love my wonderful husband. I love my beautiful family. I love my office building that we bought last year. You know, whatever it is. And then when you have that appreciation and that strong emotion, what it does is it opens up your mind and attracts specific actions that you can take to improve your life instead of falling into those dark holes of depression.
Right, right. And every single person, I mean, no matter how bleak and desperate and dire your situation is, everyone has something that they can appreciate. Something.
Exactly.
I don't care, even if it's just life itself, just the ability to wake up in the morning and live. I mean, you can always find something that you can say, oh, my goodness, I am so excited. And you can generate that energy. Our thoughts are energy.
Exactly.
And when you focus your thoughts so strongly to create that energy, like you're saying, Stephanie, when you get really excited about something and generate that energy, that really flows through you, and it does attract things to you.
It absolutely does. And when you take charge of your money energy and shift your attitude from fearing to anticipating exciting new opportunities that this change will bring, then those opportunities will help you to thrive and manifest goodness in your life sooner and sooner. And what you are is you are a beacon for other people as well.
That's so true. And I'm a witness. I have a testimony because I have absolutely been there. I've been there, and not necessarily at the bottom of the barrel as far as, you know, just being so desperate and dire, because I would never allow myself to get to that point. But I have been in a situation where I wasn't fulfilled internally. I mean, there was such a huge void. And it wasn't even because of money, because I had plenty of money. And that's why I know money is not the answer, because I had plenty of money. It just was not where I was supposed to be in life. I was not living my purpose. And that's why I know, even if you were to win the lottery today, it might pacify you or appease you for a while, but it's only going to last for a short while. Then it's going to be something else that you're going to be down and depressed and blue about. Once you get enough money to pay off yourself. Yeah.
What we know is that money doesn't change you. It only makes you more of what you already are.
That's a good one. I like that.
So if you have a poverty mentality, as many people who win the lottery do, then what tends to happen is that they lose that money or squander it in some short period of time. There have been books written about lottery winners and how few of them have the permanent security that they thought they would achieve.
Yeah. There was
a
study. That's right. There was a study done, ABC News, I think it was 2020, or when they did a study on happiness and how it is created. And I even talk a little bit about that in my book, Emotional Bailout.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And it was the research showed that money does not create happiness. Even people that have won the lottery, the research showed that typically the average amount of time that a person stays happy and excited or whatever that thrill of winning the lottery brings is about a 9-month period. And after
exactly.
that 9-month period, you go back to exactly what you said, Stephanie. You go back to where you were mentality-wise before you won the lottery.
That's
you're
right.
just a depressed person that won the lottery.
I'm afraid so.
Seriously.
And Kathy, you know, as we're talking about life experiences, I didn't become a, I'm not talking about these things because I'm a coach. I'm talking about them because I lived these experiences and learned them myself in the 1990s
sure.
recession. And I wrote my book that was published in April of 2009 is Inspired to Success. And my website is getinspiredtosuccess.com. What I learned there was that I had to shift my thinking in order to attract a different solution. And that is information that now I'm able to build on and expand to a worldwide audience now in this recession. And as a wealth coach, I help people to avoid the emotional death spiral over not having enough money. And I help them balance and solve their money issues first. Maybe it's by finding multiple streams of income. Maybe it's by finding a new opportunity. Maybe it's by taking an advantage of an opportunity in network marketing. Because that's something that's always growing during a recession.
Now,
if
Stephanie,
hi, Tony. How are you?
I wanted to ask this because I've been listening, you know, very intently, and I agree with everything you're saying. One thing I wanted to ask, because something that really hit me, is I know you talk about the balance in your life with the wealth, but one thing that I'm noticing in the conversation, that balance of wealth actually gives me a sense of balancing yourself so you can understand that wealth is within you, and the money comes to you because you are of value or you're wealthy to yourself, and those kinds of things work hand in hand.
Stephanie? Did we lose her?
We may have.
Oh, my goodness. Oh.
I don't know. My question knocked it off the air.
Oh, no. Wow. Steve, she was really giving us some good information.
Yeah. Definitely so.
And maybe
she can email. We can get it blogged or something, and she can answer that, because that's what I got from it. I'm getting that from the conversation.
I'm back. I don't know what happened, but I'm back.
She came back and so did the static. Bless your heart.
Very good. Well, I thought I'd try you on.
Because we're running down on time anyway, and oh my gosh, Stephanie, this has just been a fabulous conversation, and I want to make sure I get your website in before we run out of time. So could you repeat that for our listeners?
Well, I offered getinspiredtosuccess.com, but I have an offer for your listeners. The coupon code is Kathy, C-A-T-H-Y, all caps, and it's 50% off of How to Survive the Crash of 2010 at my website, www.quantumleapwealthcoach.com. And I want everybody to have enough to share and to spare so that we can save our country and save ourselves in the coming changes that are about to happen to us, so that we have a fabulous depression instead of a terrible one.
Absolutely. Stephanie, thank you so much for joining us this evening. Oh, it has been our pleasure tonight, too. You have been a wealth of knowledge. Both guests have really been really tremendous tonight and been a wealth of knowledge. So thank you so much for that. We're going to sign off for now, and we will see you next week with Part 8 of the Review, Renew, and Reclaim Your Life series. Thank you for joining us tonight. I'm Kathy Holloway-Hill.
I'm Tony Lamont.
Good night, everyone.